NFT.
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 NFTs.
Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, are exploding in popularity.
This is Zen Chats. I am Zeneca. Let's talk NFTs. Hello and welcome to another episode of Zen Chats. Today I'm here with Udag, who is the project manager for Generative Dungeons, which is one of the coolest projects I think I've seen last 12 months of my entire time in the space. It is the world's first playable, fully customizable, community-driven RPG collection.
Yes.
I believe that's accurate. Welcome.
Yes, I mean, it's amazing to be here. And I mean, it's everything has been amazing for Generative Dungeons so far. But before we started the mint, I especially wanted to reach out to you. And it has been really hard to do that before the mint. Before we were best friends, like we are right now.
And, of course, you know, yeah.
So it's really like, I'm not just saying to say this. It's really amazing to be here.
No, it's really, really amazing to be chatting with you as well. I genuinely love the project. And I mean, we're going to get into all the details. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, I'd love to know a bit more about you, like your background, sort of your origin story. What did you do before NFTs? Then how did you get into NFTs? And from there, how did you get into Generative Dungeons?
Yeah, that's a little bit of an interesting question, because I've been in NFTs in almost 1 or 1.5 years. Like I've been just degening, and before that I've been in crypto. In general, I always have this spirit of an entrepreneur. You know, I always try to do stuff in general rather than just sticking to one thing and focusing on that. I always, you know, try to mix things up. And before NFTs, I was usually freelancing and saying that, hey, I'm going to have some enough money and, you know, develop my own business. I was usually always focusing on making a stuff that is my own. And that was usually me. And the first NFT, let me tell you how I got to NFTs first, I guess, because that's also interesting, because I didn't know anything about NFTs in terms of technical size. Like I knew a little bit of crypto because I purchased crypto like years ago, probably with like generally with a lot of young people as they did. And the reason I got into NFTs first, I was curious what makes them sell, and I was curious what makes people buy, because it's a really interesting concept, isn't it? Yeah, you understand that, okay, it's art, but digital, that's great, because at first, like, that's the only thing you see from an outside perspective. And, you know, you are wondering, what does it matter if I am the one who's selling the art, or what does it matter he's selling the art? So that's what I tried to do. I actually, I was also a 3D modeler, if you say, like, I was busy with 3D stuff. In general, I am a video editor, but I know a little bit of everything that in that area, because, you know, I'm a generally curious person. So I tried to sell my own 3D model that I rendered in Blender, and it actually worked. Someone bought it, and I still don't know who that is. And yeah, that was very interesting. That's how I got into NFTs. And after that, I spent every second of my life, how can I make this repeat?
Yeah. That's wild. Did you just list it on OpenSea then, or
it was Rarible actually?
Rarible, yeah.
Yeah. I honestly didn't even know the difference back then. Just Rarible had the dark mode, so I thought it's better for my eyes, so it works for me. You know, I was like, it was a very spontaneous decision, and I just thought Rarible looked better, and that's where I put my And honestly, at that time, it was a huge risk for me, because I didn't even have money to pay the Ethereum gas. Like, I'm not kidding. I literally gave all of my money that I had in the bank account in order to pay the gas fee to upload the 3D thing. And I actually made like 2x of that. So it technically paid off from that. Yeah, I
know. Yeah.
It technically paid off from that perspective. Yeah, that's how I get started. And I just started to learn more about it, because it wasn't about my art. It was, it slowly started to be, this is not about me and the project. And like, I started to learn every aspect of it, because like I said, I'm generally curious and I want to dip my toes in everywhere I can, basically. and NFTs are the new thing. It was very exciting to me. So I started to learn, and I actually have never stopped. I'm still learning.
Yeah, we're also learning. I think even if you've been in the space since 2017 for NFTs, it's all crypto since 2010. You know, it's still, there's so much to learn. It's crazy. Especially in the NFT space, that's moving and evolving so rapidly. Speaking of evolving, I think Generative Dungeons is one of the most innovative projects that I've seen. So to give people an idea, the NFT itself is a game. So a lot of NFTs, it's just a JPEG. Some of them, they're animated. Some of them you can interact with. This one is a game that you can it's a game. You can, on OpenSea, you can go to, your profile, click on your NFT, and then, use your keyboard, move around, you level up, you attack things, you have a health bar. It's an RPG, which I mean, is immediately fascinating to me, just as it sort of seemed to push the technological limits of what we'd seen up until the time of launch. Let's get into sort of how you came to be project manager for Generative Dungeon and take us back to when the project launched and what that was like.
Mm-hmm. So, firstly, you are absolutely right. Generative Dungeon is basically the evolution of what we have right now, or what we had. And it's kind of funny because we are slowly starting to see that, because every NFT is, not every NFT, but a lot of NFT projects is moving towards the interactive NFTs. So what I am guessing personally, right now, interactive NFTs are 1% of the whole NFT scene, and soon, and in a 1 year or so, because it is much, much harder than a GPX collection, obviously, 90% of the NFT projects are going to be interactive, because, the cat is out of the bag now, and that's how I think it's going to be. And since we are the pioneer of that, I think we are going to take that into another level. But let me answer your other, I guess, first question, how I got into Generative Dungeon. So, actually, a friend of mine, I have a YouTube channel called UDugNFT. And, I usually try to find projects early and get whitelist if I can. So one of my friend and a viewer sent me the Generative Dungeon Discord link. And I said, what is this? It's just another project. Just leave me be. What is, because at some point, there are too many projects.
There are
too many projects. Absolutely. I mean, you cannot keep up with all of them. And it's at some point, you got to say, okay, enough. Thank God I didn't say enough to the Generative Dungeon. And he said, you got to check this out. This is amazing. And I checked it out. And it had only 1,000 followers on Twitter when I first saw the project. And I went to the Dungeon Master. I said, I am ready to devote my whole life into this project. Just let me have the opportunity to promote. And that's what we did. He said, okay, if you can, you can do that. Let's do that. Let's try that. And I basically contacted every contact I had and every project, every influencer I knew. And yeah, it moved from that, because the NFTs are usually, it's about the founder and the connections rather than the product. And in order to, if you don't reach the right people, it doesn't matter what you have, it can still can be a failure. And I didn't want that to happen to Generative Dungeon, because it's really, really special. And I tried everything in my hand to reach to people that have the power to promote. And as you can see, it worked, because it reached you and Gary Vee.
Yeah. I remember. So when did you mint? Was it early this year or late last year?
February 4.
Minted out. There's 3,000 NFTs. And I remember maybe a week or so after mint, maybe it was a couple of days, you probably know better. It was sort of picking up, and a lot of people were talking about it, and the floor was going up. And then Gary Vee recorded a video talking about how he'd just seen this project and how just cool it was. And it just, as happens when Gary Vee talks about a project, it just absolutely exploded the floor price. And I think it went to 3 ETH or something at its peak. It has now come down back to reality, which usually happens after a pump like that. But it really, it worked. Whatever you did to try and, but I think, a lot of people try and, reach out to Gary, reach out to people to talk, share their projects. The reason it got through is because the product itself is so different.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Without the product, it doesn't really matter unless you have the previous connection. And, I didn't even aim Gary Vee at first because that I knew that it was impossible. I just aimed his brother. I mean, I hope I don't sound like a jackass right now, but you know, that was more of a feasible target. And you know, after Poopy's tournament as well, that worked.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing that, I just remembered Poopy's tournament. So Poopy is one of the founders of Doodles. And he found the project as well. I don't know if that was you were pushing it to. Yeah, he found it, loved it. And then I think he said something like whoever gets a higher score wins. Was it Doodles?
Yeah.
And they were pumping in floor price at the time, if I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the floor price at that time, 13 Ethereum. And Ethereum was 4K at that time, right?
I think it would have been 3 something. I don't think it hit 4K this year. But yeah.
It's still a lot higher than what
higher
we have
than now. Yeah.
So when you think about it, someone actually changed his life just by being good at dungeon, which is incredible to think about it. Like, I mean, it really shows what Web3 can do in a nutshell, I guess. Because you know, Poopy didn't have to do that for Poopy because that was before Gary Vee pumped. So for him, we were an unknown project, but he did it anyway in the love of innovation. Yeah. And you know, seeing that is what's great because people care about Twitter followers more than innovation, and Twitter followers absolutely mean nothing at like 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Of course, it has a merit to it, but like, I mean, we've seen a lot of projects lately that has 1 million Twitter followers and goes below mint.
Right, exactly. If they're bots, they're bought, they're not true believers, and people are just like mintless grinding, etc. It really doesn't matter. And then obviously, and then we've seen the flip side where there's projects that are incredibly successful that have not that many Twitter followers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the project launched in February. So we're about three and a bit months on now. What's that journey been like? I mean, I'm sure that you mentioned Dungeon Master before. He's the founder, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that he's been working on developing more for the product and the future.
He's an awesome person. He's like a god among men, and you know, he really, really, he's really passionate about coding, and which is really great. Like, he's usually like, just let me do the coding and deal with everything else. That's what he's telling me in general. And you know, like as much as I can, at least, because he's very, very like, he just likes to create worlds. You know, if that makes sense. Like, he just creates this whole world, and you know, he wants to improve on that. Which is, I mean, it's a really great process to see, because the way I was introduced, like, okay, let me just put it this way. So we have a map editor. Have you ever seen our map editor?
I've not seen the map editor. No, I've seen the different maps and played around with them, but not the editor.
Mm-hmm. So all NFTs are right now the customizable, which makes us the first customizable NFT, but not a big deal. we have a roadmap on the website, and I was talking to Dungeon Master like weekly, daily. Hey, this is what's happening. What are you been working on? Blah, blah, blah. And he just one day came up to me and said, hey, I finished the map editor. And I said, what do you mean you finished? And yeah, that's literally what I said, because I wasn't expecting that. And because in reality, Map Editor has been finished for a long, long time. We just didn't release it because we waited for the right time. But turns out, sometimes there is no right time, and sometimes you just gotta do it. Because, I mean, you can see the current time, but you cannot see the future. Maybe, like right now, things are going to get worse, you know?
Yeah.
And he just came up to me and said, hey, I finished the Map Editor in my spare time, basically. And like, that's the kind of person he is. He's always building. He's what Web3's wet dreams, you know, like, because he's the one who's constantly doing the real thing that people only dream to do, you know, because most projects only dream to have a game in 10 years and only have a customization in 15 years. You know what I'm saying? Which, you know, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just pointing out. Of course, everybody has their own thing. He's a monster. He's literally a monster. That's what it is.
He's a builder. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, you know, you love to see it. As you said, there are a lot of projects that say, "Hey, we're launching, and we're gonna launch a game in the future, and we're gonna build towards it." And it takes a lot of time, and many of them, you know, fade away before they even get close to it. Some of them didn't even have the intentions to build it in the first place. And then, yeah, when you see someone come along who can just sort of release a game at Mint and then continue to build and iterate upon it, it's amazing to see.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what's next? What else is coming up? So the games, I mean, anyone can play the games, but yeah. For those listening and not watching, Udag is rubbing his hands together. I'm excited.
I'm really excited. So first of all, we have an obvious one. The next collection is Generative Avatars, which will be free to everyone who holds a Generative Dungeon.
Amazing.
But the other half, the collection size will be 6,000 and half of them will be free, half of them will be whitelist only to the whitelisted members. And and that's just one of the things that are coming, of course, because avatars are going to be playable in Dungeon and they will have two art styles and they will have one surprise that people will only find out after the reveal and everybody is going to be shocked again. Like, oh my God, how did he do this? You know, that's how it's going to be. And I'm really excited to see that because you know how projects usually go down after reveal? I'm really curious if that's going to happen to Generative Avatars because what you're going to see is something that no one has ever seen. And it's kind of funny when I say that because Generative Dungeon is something you have never seen. Yeah. So I think about what's coming, you know?
That's really exciting. I'm so curious now. Any hints?
No. No. That's literally the only thing I cannot say about it. Like,
yeah.
I talk about everything usually. Like, I accidentally drop alphas, but like, then the master was like,
this one, your lips are sealed. All right.
Nothing.
We'll just have to see. Exactly. Is there a date yet for the mint for that?
Yes, June 15th. So less than a month.
Yeah. Just before NFT NYC. So that's exciting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
About the week before. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
And apart from that, apart from Generative Avatars, there are also a couple of things that are coming. And one of them is multiplayer and play to earn aspects of it. So we currently published our tokens. We currently publish our map editor and staking. And through staking, you can earn DNG, which is Generative Dungeon Token, and you can spend it on a bazaar. And in bazaar, we don't have just have whitelist and premiums, but we also have interesting stuff. For example, you can buy a smart contract development, which is
wow,
yeah, right, which yeah, is like
amazing.
Yeah, I know. So
who does the development?
So I see. We have a supporter developer in our Discord team, and you know he's a really cool guy, by the way. And he said, yeah, he's doing the development. And if also you want to purchase the review of a smart contract, which is also possible to purchase on the bazaar, you can also buy that. So both review and making a smart contract is available on the bazaar. So it's not just, you know, whitelist but marketplace, which is I think, you know, everybody's basic. Doing it.
Yeah.
It's so basic.
It's still cool though, but I think starting to see more projects push the boundaries of what you can do with like creative tokenomics and rewarding users. So how do people get the DNG token?
They need to either stake or join one of the quests in Discord, which we have them, you know, randomly at random times. All you need to do is get the tag and the wizard will reward you with DNG. Mm. Or they can purchase through to Uniswap that people provided the liquidity, which we didn't. And I also want to say one more thing about the marketplace. Like, I don't mean other marketplaces are bad, but it just, like you said, it's kind of basic. Like, it's not wrong to do it. But I am playing the whitelist game right now because it's working, but I kind of don't love the whole whitelist thing.
Yeah, me either. I think a lot of people are getting sick and sick of it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, most of the NFTs has only one purchase. To have whitelist for other project that gives you an NFT, which will give you whitelist for another project, blah, blah, blah. So it's not
house
for the
cards
whole
cards almost. Yeah.
What? Can you say that again?
I was like, it's kind of like a house of cards where it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is such a correct thing.
Yeah. All right, I have a selfish question now. Is staking live already for the DNG?
Yeah, it is live.
All right, I should stake mine then.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that too, because I was like, maybe I shouldn't say it. If he wanted to stake it, he would have, you know, that's
what. No, honestly, it's the case of there's too many projects. I'm not aware of like so many projects have, you know, you can stake now, eligible for this. There's a claim here, a claim that it's difficult to stay on top of it all. But yeah, definitely got to make sure to do that.
You also got airdrop, by the way, because if you have an unlisted dungeon, you get an airdrop. So you have
that's great. Mine are definitely unlisted.
Yeah, I know.
I have a funny story. Yes, a couple of days ago, I was talking to just a friend who was creating like a new Web3 platform marketplace aggregator experience thing. And one of the features is that you can enter your wallet address and view all your active listings and you can cancel a lot of them at once and stuff like that, mass list. And it's like the feature's just being unrolled. And so he had me share my screen and wanted to see me go through the experience, just to my first reactions and bug testing and stuff. And so I put my wallet address in, my main wallet, and I put my vault wallet in. And I came with zero listings out of like 3,000 to 5,000 NFTs. And he's like, huh, is something, maybe it's not working. I was like, no, I just have zero NFTs listed.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great because, you know, I also don't like this whole NFT thing. Like, let's just buy an NFT in order to sell it for a higher price thing, because like they need to have a purpose apart from selling at some point, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Now, obviously a lot of the things I buy, it's to eventually probably sell some of one day. Usually these days when I buy, it's because I believe in the team and the project is cool and different. I'm really not flipping anymore. Like 8 months ago, I would mint things exclusively just to sell them because that's the game I was playing. But I'm not anymore, and it's a lot more just fulfilling, and it feels better. Like it didn't feel fantastic flipping all the time. It was very it burnt you out, I think. You know?
Yeah, it's true. That's definitely true. I mean, I'm a degen as well, so but.
I think we all are a little bit. Yeah, if you're into NFTs, especially if you're into the space last year, there's some part of you that are like, a little bit degen.
Yeah, especially if you got into it in a like before a year or so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You had to be a special kind of crazy to say, oh, digital JPEG, all right, that's worth $1,000. I'll pay $1,000. And then there's bigger degens that'll buy it off you for $5,000. It's all so
that's
crazy.
So true. That's so true.
Yeah.
Tokenized.
So Generative Dungeons, you run a lot of tournaments as well. Can you talk about those and sort of what that's like for... do you have to own a Generative Dungeon to participate in the tournaments and how do they work?
No. I think in the end, like what we are trying to do, that's not what I think, but that's what I think is going to happen Generative Dungeon is not going to be a community exclusively to holders. It's going to be a community for everyone because everybody is going to benefit. Everybody is going to be able to get a whitelist, get DNG by just playing. And they don't have to be necessarily good at it. They just have to be smart at it because our tournament organizer is not focusing on the leaderboard. He's focusing on other aspects of the game. For example, go find me a red dragon in dungeon 056. That kind of cool stuff, which makes the whole thing a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
And right now, since we have floor editor, that changes the whole thing. And, go find me this book and tell me what this book says. By the way, that's also something that you can do in the dungeon. You can put up a book in the dungeon and you can write whatever you want. So I'm curious if people are actually going to use that for closed discords. I see you are curious now. If you want, I can show.
I am. Yes. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Wait.
I'd love to.
Let me share the screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Loading. Apologies to podcast listeners, but if you want to view the screen, just there'll be a link to the YouTube video in the show notes and come check it out. And we'll try and talk through as much of it as possible.
So this is the owner's menu. I right now realize that I didn't connect to MetaMask, so that's what I'm saying. So in the meantime, I'm trying to pretend like I didn't do that. So like I said, you can stake here. Oh, by the way, I really want to show you the bazaar to you. Just a couple of seconds. For example, this is a lottery. Like you will be able to, degen. Because, gambling is really fun, right?
It is fun. Yeah, people love it.
So, and this is a lottery with DNG. If you win this, you get a DNG. If you win this, you get Ethereum. And if you buy this, you get to save your map editor. Like it's really cheap. It's 10 DNG, which what you get for staking one dungeon per day. And in order to save one, you need to buy one of these. And there's also lore books and music and portals. So these are very important because portals are a way to travel to other dungeons you own.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are expensive, but on purpose, we just want to see, you know, first how people are going to experiment with how people are going to react to it more like. And, you know, there is a music sound pack that we can purchase and we can put integrate to our dungeon, which means, by the way, we can also integrate other people's music. And right now there are a couple of musicians that I'm personally talking that, you know, we want to integrate into the dungeon just for the sake of integrating, because, you know, it will benefit everybody in the end, the more we have. Because, you know, it's a cool thing to do. And other than that, we have Freeman's whitelist. And let me show. Yeah, this is what I want to show you. So people can sell their dungeon designs. Yeah. So that's it creates cool. a whole ecosystem around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lore editor.
So the nerd in me is loving this. It's so cool.
Let me show you the floor editor. Then this is going to be cooler in a second.
Yeah.
I just need to sign in. You don't have to pay a guest, by the way, if you are new to this. All you need to do is just sign in and tell MetaMask you are, in fact, owner of this NFT. Anyway, so this is the map editor. So these are all the tiles that we have. For example, let's go with Love My Maze. If we click generate, the game will automatically create, generate a map for us, which is great if we are lazy. But let's choose wilderness and generate something with space so I can put things. So these are animals as usual. And like I said, this is the, I need to go to level 2. Oh, I cannot edit the level 0, by the way, because level 0 is what you see on OpenSea. So, so the rarity is not affected by it.
Right, yeah.
Otherwise, it creates other problems. But, you know, I don't know. That's how it is right now. So, for example, I can put the portal here and travel to another dungeon wherever I want. And the tiles that will remain the same.
Another dungeon that you own.
Yeah, another dungeon I own. So for now, I can just do that. And let me save that actually in the meantime, because I'm going to show that to you on screen in the background while save unsuccessful. Wait, don't I have any saves? What do you mean, don't I?
Oh, no, you need to go to the bazaar.
Okay, I can get the bazaar. Ah, I didn't unlock the portals. Okay, yeah. I will in a second. Let me show you the other cool stuff. Okay, so I mentioned a book, right?
The lore,
exactly. I mean, yeah, the lore sounds so much cooler, especially with your accent. So, for example, I can say Zeneca rules and done. So, I mean, we are trying to, in a way... Okay, Generative Dungeon is an NFT project that is for creators in a way, right? Because like everyone in our community has something going on for them in other communities. Like they always have a role in other
projects.
For example, there is this Zeneca guy. You should meet him. You know, like people just generally are creators in our community. So that's why I think it's... these are very, very important stuff. And
the wheels are already ticking in my brain. It's like, it would be so cool to have a treasure hunt, you know, where anyone from Zen Academy goes in and if there's puzzles and there's clues and there's hints and you get to the end and then you win a Zen Academy token or something like that.
I mean, the possibilities are basically limited by only you, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why it's really cool. Wait, what am I streaming right now? Okay, I'm streaming the right.
We're seeing the floor editor. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I just wanted to be sure because. Okay. Wait. Yes. Just need to sign this, and I will show you. Okay. Great. So all I need to do is refresh. In the meantime, and floor editor. So, yeah, let's pick the wilderness and generate one and to put a portal next to one of the, like, one next to stairs and save. In the meantime, it will sign the project, I hope.
And so you don't have to pay gas for any of this?
Yes. All you have to do is just sign and, you know, just say, hey, I own this NFT, so you need to let me you just need to let me what I want to do with it. And in the meantime, I actually want to show you a couple of more important stuff. And those are buttons. For example, okay, you know what generate is, and smooth is kind of, it smooths the walls, so walls look a little bit more normal, as and save. And also, you can reset the original settings. So, for example, you bought a dungeon that I edited, you can reset it back. And you can export it. So, that means you can export it and sell it on the bazaar with the file. You can sell the file on the bazaar. That's how we do it right now. You will be able to, you know, add all sort of songs and sounds to your dungeon. Because, you know, what is the idea of a generative dungeon is that you get to be the CEO, you get to be the owner. And this is the first time in the history, you know, you get to completely own a game with every asset. I mean, nothing is stopping you using every asset, not just single one, using every asset in the game for commercial uses, for your case, for your pleasure. Yeah. This is my jam. This is how I go to sleep.
Very cool.
Yeah, and you know, Yeah, that's how it works. A second, I just need to go show something different. Yes.
Sure thing.
Because I need to show you the map editor. However, I guess maybe I can just show this. So,
narrow and open sea. Yeah.
I need to. I should have been more prepared for this. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I didn't. I wasn't prepared either. But it's cool. We wing it. Yeah.
That makes me feel better. And I don't want to lock the dungeon because I don't even remember the passport. I was just showing to people how it works. So right now, since the floor zero is, you know, is unedible, we need to reach to floor one. So in my theory, in the future, the dungeons that have stairs that is closer to the main character is going to be more valuable because, you know, people will immediately want to go to where the edited dungeon is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So as you can see, I have the Zeneca thing because, you know, represent. And I just wanted to show the portal right now. Yes, this means I am on another dungeon, which I believe 1087. Yeah. So I wanted to show the dungeon to show you that it's a different dungeon. I mean, it just creates a lot of possibilities and I'm really excited right now. And as you can see, it is literally the same dungeon and we just travel into it.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And this is just the beginning of what's to come.
Why does it look different? Like the...
So here's how it works. So the tile set that I first put the portal is the tile set that is going to be used all the time. Doesn't matter where you travel. Yeah. But
the design is the same, but like the aesthetics might be slightly different.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, for example, this tile set is AGA and this tile set is 3232. So this tile set stays the same tile set. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter which dungeon you are traveling.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you mentioned the Zen Academy, like there's a crystal ball above your head. Can you talk about just how that works? And I know you've partnered with a bunch of other projects as well, which is just, I think very cool.
But, just to be clear, Zeneca was one of the first, actually was the first when you think about it, because we integrated the first. And because, you know, I always wanted to, I've kind of forced Dungeon Master to do it. I'm kind of a fanboy. So the way it works is we wanted to show that this is not just a game that you can play on OpenSea, but it is a metaverse that is waiting to be explored. And like, you can connect NFTs now. What does that mean? Any person with, you know, half a mind will think this means this is one step away from being a metaverse, because multiplayer is going to come next month and we already have NFT integration. So that's literally a pixel metaverse for you. But
yeah,
multiplayer is going to be deathmatch for at first, because you know, we want to explore the area with that. The deathmatch is going to be has play to earn aspects of it. We will have two play to earns, actually. One, the first phase is going to contain the R token. The next one won't, which is something that no one has ever done. The second one is going to be super, super interesting. The first one is just going to be interesting, not that not super, super interesting.
Just interesting, not super, super interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. The second one is going to be blow minds. The wow. First one is going to wow, but that's up.
Yeah.
But by the way, I actually want to tell you one more thing about that, because when the multiplayer hits, people will be able to actually tax the players in their NFTs. So, for example, that's amazing.
That's amazing. So, if you have a dungeon and people are playing in your dungeon, you receive some DNG.
Token. Yeah, DNG. You can say, hey, you have to pay 10% of a tax if you win a game in my in my NFT. And, you know, I don't really know what is the maximum number is going to be, but it would be really funny if people were able to set their tax to 100% and, you know, just screw people up. You know, like,
I'm sure someone will try. Yeah,
I know. I mean, it's kind of would be interesting too, because, you know, hey, look, if you play in my dungeon, like, you know, you will get this, you know, people will try to trick each other, because that's what people are trying to do, like, always, not even in the Web3, like, it's in general.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think what I wanted to say about, I almost said everything that I want to say, but I can still say a couple of things about the NFT integration. Well, the idea is, like I said, like, this is NFT and it's integrated. And this means I can show my tribe. I mean, what are all these profile pictures, the profile picture trends, like trying to, in a way, show your personality online, right? Mm-hmm. In a way. And I think this is that on steroids, because, you know, you can already customize your dungeon and make it your own completely. You can put, like, you can literally put your logo on a dungeon, you know, if you spend the time. And this NFT integration was the start of it, because it's a way to show your tribe, hey, look, I am I love Zeneca. That's what it means when you have this purple ball. I think
no. Honestly, it's really the coolest part to me is that you can show that you're part of more communities at once. Like, so often, say on Twitter, I obviously have my Bored Ape, but maybe I get excited about another project, and I'm not a huge fan of jumping around and changing PFPs all the time. It would be great to be able to show, you know, multiple things at once, and this is just exactly how you do that. You just have, like, for those just listening, like, you have your character in the dungeon, and then just above the head of the character, there's, like, little emojis, basically. And so the crystal ball for Zen Academy. There's a mushroom for the Mushroom Club. Yeah.
You're so smart.
I'm just saying what you've done.
No, it's so true. Like, that's literally what I wanted people to think, and no one ever thought that. Like, this is literally the only time we got that response, and I'm like, finally, this happened. You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, like,
I can do the real life version of it.
I need to stop. Wait, I want to take a picture of that. Thank God. Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Where do we go?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, what generative avatars coming out mid-June. What, I mean, this is a question that I ask everyone, and it might be difficult given how much you're innovating in a short time, but, like, where do you sort of see generative dungeons in 5 to 10 years?
So that's an awesome question, I think, because in NFT space, I mean, man, I really love your tweets, man. Like, when you, you posted the thread about this place has very, very unrealistic expectations.
Oh, and yeah.
That made me so much better because I was focusing on what people wanted at first. Like, I was focusing on individual, which was a mistake. You got to focus on the community because that's just how it works. Like, I was trying to explain to people, hey, look, this is how floor works. This is how market works. This is how life works. You know, I was actually spending my time in it, but I realized that was kind of a waste of time. No offense to anybody, because you got to build and you got to market and you got to build the community rather than the you know, trying to fix everyone's little problems. So that tweet actually made me a lot better. And I think in 5 years, I see Generative Dungeon literally with Disney. And before, like in 1 year, in less than a 1 year, I think we are going to, you know, take things into another level. Like, this being a pioneer of interactive NFTs won't go away. It's just going to get bigger because, I mean, you've been around, you're a high-end consumer NFTs, you're a creator, like, you know how important it is to be a first, you know how important it is to be a pioneer. And like, I mean, it's like CryptoPunks, right? You know, CryptoPunks didn't mean anything until all of the NFTs, you know, like, well, it started to grow slowly. That's what I'm trying to say. And in a way, Generative Dungeon is the CryptoPunks of interactive NFTs. I know, like, if you know, someone who doesn't know the project hear me says this, you know, that might sound, oh, this guy is an egoist. And I kind of am, but it's not about that. It's like, it's about the project.
Yeah.
Because I really put myself aside when I talk about the project because, like, it's a complete different thing. But yeah, I literally think Generative Dungeon is going to be next to Disney.
I love that. That's a great answer. I think that's, all right. So before we wrap up, is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you wanted to cover or mention relating to Generative Dungeons or anything in general?
Let me think. Well, after Generative Avatars, we will have Generative Quest, which will be the first playable 3D game. And and only holders will be able to get whitelist for that. Well, that's not completely like decided, but mostly it's true. And that's going to be a whole another thing. And Generative Quest is going to be the 3D of Generative Dungeon in a way. And that's going to be much more, like, a lot more interesting because, you know, if we already created the Pixel Metaverse, what's going to happen if we can have a Metaverse on our own on OpenSea and that is 3D?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, yeah. And it's not just, like, when I say Generative Dungeon is going to be next to Disney, I really, really believe that from all the perspectives because it's just so clear to see. But exactly. I guess that's everything.
Yeah, it's been, honestly, when you said that it launched in early Feb, I was mind-blowing because in my mind it was 6 months ago, 8 months ago. It's crazy just how time works in the NFT space. But
true.
Yeah, to think it's only been 3.5 months and you've done this much and have so much more planned it's exciting, honestly. And I'm gonna go stake my dungeons and earn that DNG and I'm genuinely gonna like put it on my list of things to do to talk to someone about maybe making a quest or some sort of fun treasure hunt for Zen Academy because I think
that would be
a cool way to engage the community.
That would be awesome. Actually, a lot of projects are right now creating an arcade in their Discord, you know, and organizing weekly tournaments, and you already have a dungeon, so just create the channel, and our tournament organizator can help you with the quest organization, and because he has so many creative ideas how to do things. If you want, so I can create a group on Discord if you want.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
All right. We will have links to everything in the show notes below, the website, the OpenSea, the Twitter, Discord, etc. So if you want to find out more, I encourage you to follow, join, like look at the dungeons and see if you want to take part. Otherwise, thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Yeah, what you want to do, by the way, if you take a look, buy one and never sell and thank me later.
Not financial advice, but buy one. I love it. I love it. Yeah. I honestly have no plans to sell mine, but I have no plans to sell anything. So no, I really do. I enjoy it. It's just, honestly, just take a look. It is a different project. It is just different, especially if you're a nerd, especially if you're into gaming and RPG games, etc. Honestly, it has these nostalgic feelings. It really takes me back to my childhood and makes me excited for the future of NFTs and Web3 and the internet. So,
yeah. I just want to say one more thing about the dungeons, because in 1 month, the multiplayer will hit, and play to earn aspects will come. And we always had this view that being a map editor, like being able to customize a dungeon, you know, creatively, beautifully, is going to be a job, you know, and that is going to be, I think, sooner than later, like in a couple of months, like maybe one and a half, because you know, it's going to be beneficial to hold the dungeon, hold the NFTs in the dungeon verse. Because the dungeon world is not going to be just about, you know, generative dungeon, and every one of them is going to have their own thing. So, you know, this tax thing and all the other stuff, like a lot of things are stuff coming. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that again, because I feel like I didn't say it clearly. So I'm going to sleep better right now after I said it.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, if you're interested in creating levels and designing, and there's a lot of opportunity, I would say, within generative dungeons for whoever you are and whatever might tickle your fancies. Thank you so much and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Zen Chats with Zeneca. Please consider subscribing to the podcast so that you are notified of future episodes. Also, make sure to check out our YouTube channel for the video version of this episode. For even more podcasting fun, check out the other podcast I co-host, Two Bored Apes. If you enjoy my content, please consider joining us at Zen Academy, a place where anyone, anywhere, at any level can learn about NFTs and Web3. All of the links are in the description below. I'll catch you next time.